Welcome to LifeGate. Glad you're here. This is your first time here, one of your first times. We're so glad you're here. So glad you're spending Sunday with us. And of all the places that you could be, you're here with us. And I think that's just great. Hope it's the first of many visits and many times you'll be with us. Hope you'll just become a part of the LifeGate family. It's a great family. Have a lot of fun. We serve the Lord. We love the Lord together. We love each other. And we love Jesus and we worship Him. And we're glad you're here. I want you to come. Keep coming. Amen. Well, we're doing a series that's called The Dream. This will be the last lesson that we have on it. This will be the sixth and the last that we have. God has given a dream to every single person. Every person ever born, God has put into their heart a dream. They're born with it. As you were formed in your mother's womb, in your innermost being, God put a dream. And this dream, it becomes a vision for your life. It becomes a vision if you're young. If you'll pursue that dream when you're young, it'll take you into life and that more abundantly. All your days will be spent pursuing and having an abundant life. If you're a middle-aged person like me, that would mean that I'm going to live to be 112. If you're a middle-aged person like I am, then you can look back and see how much of the dream you've lived, and you can still use it, though, as a vision for the remainder of your days. And if you're an older person, then you can look back and see how much of your life that you've really lived, the dream that God gave you. God says, I'm going to give it to every person. And the lesson that we're going to have today, and the lesson we're concluding our series with, is called Get Busy Living. Get busy living. And of course, I've taken that from Shawshank Redemption, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. God wants us to know, as we finish up this series, He wants us to get busy living. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 17. That's kind of our keynote verse, the verse that we're springing off of every lesson on this. And if you also would like to, follow me around a little bit. There's Judges chapter 6 you can turn to. We'll be working in there. And if you really want to get after it, then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There'll be a lot more verses as well and quotes and those kinds of things. But while you're turning, I'm going to pray for us and ask God to bless us. Father, thank You for this beautiful day. Oh, what a gorgeous day. Father, thank You for these beautiful people. Thank You for these lives, Lord, that want to love You and serve You and seek You. Thank You, Lord, that You're filling us and You've given us a dream to live. Thank You, Lord, that You have a vision and a plan for every life. Thank You, Father, that if we'll pursue that dream and pursue that vision, that we can have an abundant, full life. We can have a life, Lord, that is Your will and Your purpose and so full and so fulfilling. So, Father, I thank You today, and Lord, I pray You'll stir us to get busy living. I pray today You'll bless this time together. You'll use me, Lord, as something that can bring forth and speak and stir us, Lord God, and bring us to a place to fulfill that dream and get busy living. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Well, Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out My Spirit on all people. How many people? All people. This is going to happen to every single person that's ever born. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on My servants, here's where we get a little extra cut out of this thing. Even upon My servants, both men and women, I will pour out My Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. It becomes necessary to understand the prophetic aspect of your dream. We'll talk about that towards the end of our time together. But in the movie, The Shawshank Redemption, Andy had been incarcerated for murder, and he was serving he was condemned to serve two life sentences. In other words, back-to-back life sentences for two murders that he did not commit. But he was in prison, in Shawshank Prison, and there he was to spend the rest of his days. He was to die there. He would never again be outside. And after many years of being incarcerated, he was talking to his friend Red, and he tells Red his dream. He tells Red that if he did not live here, he would live in Mexico, and if he wasn't in prison, he would be in Mexico fulfilling his dream. And his dream was to have a little hotel where he could have people come and stay there, and then he would have a boat that he would restore and take them out deep sea fishing. Sounds like a really good dream to me myself. But anyway, that was his dream, and so that's what they were going to do. That was his dream. Well, Red looks at him, and Red says, Andy, it's not good for you to be doing this to yourself. And Andy, you're going to die here. You'll never. You're here for the rest of your life. And it was at that time when Andy told Red, he said, well, I guess it comes down to a choice. Get busy living or get busy dying. What I'm here to tell you today, and what I believe the Lord wants you to know, is it's time to get busy living. Listen, what's happened to so many people is we've allowed the society in which we live, and we've allowed the enemy that to allow us to be incarcerated. We're in prison. We're in a prison of a thing-centered life. We're imprisoned by what is holding us back from pursuing our dream. The Lord wants you to know today, He wants you to get busy living. He wants you to break out of that prison. And you may have to do like Andy did, climb through a big sewage pipe to experience your freedom, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Whatever that you've got to do to finally break free and finally experience the life that God has for you, it's worth any kind of sewage that you have to get through. I'm telling you, it's worth it. What is it that keeps us from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus came to give us? What is that? I have a quote here I want to read to you. It's by Harry Kemp. Harry said this, "The poor man is not he who is without a cent, but he who is without a dream." See, a different way of saying that would be this, would be a poor person is the person who refuses to pursue the dream that God's given to them. What do you think that it might be that holds you back? What do you think that it might be that stops so many people, most people, from ever pursuing the dream that's really in their heart? Any thoughts, any ideas that you'd like to bring out to me right now? Let me tell you what it is. It's a thing-centered life. The enemy uses a thing-centered life to hold us back. We allow society to mold us and keep us back because we are so into things. Things control our lives much more than any of us really want to recognize or identify. Things hold us back and things keep us from pursuing the dream that God's given to us and put into our hearts. If we're living a thing-centered life, what happens in our lives is that he wants a boat and a car. She wants furniture and a nice house. And they become entrapped, imprisoned by things. When it's a God-centered life, and we all know that we should be living a God-centered life, but when it's a God-centered life, what we end up doing is both he and she are pursuing the dream. And the dream is God's will. The dream is God's kingdom. The dream is God's purpose. And so when we begin to pursue the dream, we come to a place of trusting God for things. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well." One day, somewhere along the way, we've got to come to the place where we can trust God for things. And that's the only way we'll ever break out of the prison that the enemy has entrapped us in. Henry David Thoreau gave us this quote, and I want to read this to you. "If one advances confidently in the direction of their dreams and endeavors to lead a life which they have imagined, they will meet with a success unexpected in common hours." See, you've got to first see your dream. You've got to imagine it. You've got to be able to talk to that dream and prophesy to that dream. Imagining a life, imagining the dream is what God wants you to do. He wants you to imagine the life that He's put into you. And then you will begin to live it. And you will experience a great life. You need to escape prison. You need to escape the prison that you're in and that society has captured you in. And you need to get busy living. We all need to. We need to somehow break out of the entrapment and reach out there for that dream that God's given to us. Did you set out to be what you are? Did you set out to be what you've become? See, most people aren't. In other words, if we had a wall full of things that we could select from and say, "I want to be this," is that what you are? Did you become what you want to be? Most people are not. We've done is we've allowed society to mold us. We've allowed society and the enemy to conform us to be what it wants us to be. And that's what's happened to most people. And because of that, we never break out of the prison and we never get busy living. We're just busy, but not living and fulfilling the dream that God's given to us. Another thing that I want to talk about just a little bit. Do you have any regrets? When you look at your life, was there a time when you went right that you should have went left? In other words, was there a point or an event in your life that caused you to take a detour from what you really wanted to be and become with your life and you had to become something else? Was there a regret that you have? Well, what I want to tell you today is, listen, don't let that stop you. You'll never be younger. There'll never be a better time to reach out there and grab that dream and break out of that prison than there is right now. There'll never be a better time. You need more education, then get it. But pursue that dream and break out of the prison and the thing that's holding you back from pursuing and having the abundant life that Jesus wants you to have. Whatever that it is, you want to start your own business, then plan your escape right now. No matter what you've got to climb through, no matter what kind of crap you've got to find yourself wallowing through, break on out and experience the dream that God's given to you and wants you to live. There's a life out there, and we've got to get busy living. Don't come to the end of your days and regret that you didn't do it. Don't come to the end of your life and look back and say, man, I didn't do it. I wished I had them. You'll never be younger. There'll never be a better time to start reaching for it than right now. I have a book. It's called, the title of the book is Discover Your Destiny. And in that book there is this quote. It's written by Bill and Kathy Peel. And it says, when the chains of our accepted circumstances are broken, our dreams emerge. When the chains of our accepted circumstances are broken, our dreams emerge. See, we accept circumstances. We allow circumstances to imprison us and capture us. It was 7:30 in the morning. It was in the early 80s. I was a shift overseer, a plant overseer on the third shift, and I'm the largest textile operation in our region in Griffin. I had a horrible night. A blower sweeper, and for those that may not know what that is, it's a pneumatic machine that runs on rails around spinning frames, and it blows the lint and cotton off of the frames, off of the machines, and at the same time it vacuums the floor. Well, I had inherited one of those that was down when I came in, when the shift changed and I took over. And we had spent all night working on the machine, trying to get it to go, and it wouldn't work, and I couldn't get anyone coming in from the shop to repair the machine, so all night long it was down, so it had been down about 12 hours. And if you've ever been into a cotton mill, then you know the amount of lint that can accumulate. Well, we'd fan it off, and we'd do all that we could to try to keep it clean, and we'd sweep the floor, but that still didn't do the job, and it was really a mess. And finally, around 7 o'clock a.m., I finally got a maintenance person to come in and fix the machine, and around 7:15 or 7:20, they cranked it up. Now, we had lint about this deep on those machines, and when that blower started going around, this stuff went everywhere, and it looked terrible. Well, at 7:30 a.m., my superior and his superior and myself would make the daily shift change inspection. And so I knew a rebuke was coming. I knew I was about to get it. I knew that it was on its way. And sure enough, as we entered into the area where this machine had been down, the rebuke began. And it kept on going. And it just kept on going. And it wasn't so much my superior as it was his superior that was really going off on me. You should have done this. Why didn't you do that? You should have done it this way. Why didn't you do it that way? Why didn't you call this person? And I was trying to tell the guy, you know, listen, I did everything I knew to do. I tried my best. You know, we couldn't fix it, and we couldn't get anyone to come in and fix it. You know, it's just, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And he just kept on standing right in the middle of this plant with all of my employees watching. And then the next shift's coming in. They're watching as well. Here is this guy just railing on me. I mean, he's red in his face. He's yelling and screaming at me. And, of course, I'm not one that can take that real well. And so I began speaking back to him, you know. And I'm talking back to him, and I'm getting angry. I'm already tired. I'm already frustrated. I'm not only frustrated at this guy yelling at me, I'm frustrated also at my superior, who's not stepping in and say, listen, you guys, why don't you go into the office if you're going to yell at each other? Do something, you know. He wasn't doing anything except the guy was yelling at me and screaming at me. And I found myself turned sideways with my right fist clenched, my teeth gritted, and I had already selected a spot right in the middle of his face where my right hand was just about to go. I was moments away from messing up my life. I was moments away from punching my boss's boss. I was moments away from being blackballed forever from any work around that area. You know, I was about to mess up. Well, obviously the guy saw that I was in a prone position, and he turned and he walked away before I had the opportunity, thank God, to push that punch where I wanted it to go. Anyway, a little while later, I found myself in the vehicle, and I was heading home, And I had two main thoughts on my mind. First of all, what was wrong with this guy to be so consumed and so angry with me? Why was he going off on me so much in this particular forum? You know, I mean, I've been chewed out before, but not in that particular way, right in the middle of the plant with everybody observing. And he had such fervency. I mean, he was going off like crazy on me. You know, what was wrong with this guy? And then the other thing that I was thinking about was how I nearly messed up. You know, how I was nearly, and I had done stupid stuff before, you know. I mean, but not as a Christian. I was a Christian now. I was a deacon in our church. I was a Sunday school teacher, you know. And I was about to mess up that whole thing. I was about to poke this guy in the face, and I knew I was about to do it. And I was about to mess up everything I had tried to build up as being a Christian. So I had these two things on my mind as I was driving home, and all of a sudden I had a revelation. The reason this guy was able to go off on me with such fervency was he was created to do that. He was created to take care of that plant. He was created to really have a passion for that job. He would get up in the middle of the night to come and check on it just to see how it was doing. I mean, he was fervent with his job. He loved his job, and he had a real passion for that job. He was created to do that. I was not created to do that. I realized at that time, driving home in my vehicle, that I was not created to do that. And I never again ever wanted to experience that one more time. I realized that I wasn't created. I didn't have a passion for that. And that I realized I was spending the very best part of my life, the very, very best years of my life, doing something that would only reward me a paycheck. Whatever passion that I did have was put out by this job, by this particular situation, by going through stuff like that. I had just gotten into this confrontation with this guy, and what fervency I did have for what I felt like my passion was towards was put out by things like that. So I realized right then that I had to get busy living. I realized right then that I had to plan an escape. I had to realize right then that I was going to start trusting God, and that I was going to let God take me, no matter what stuff I had to climb through, no matter what sewage system I had to climb through. But I was not going to do that again. No matter what it took, I was going to escape that prison. About 2 years later, I had prepared myself. I shared a little bit about that last week. About 2 years later, I had prepared myself. I turned my notice into my superior, who in turn turned my notice into his superior, the same guy that went off on me. And I was summoned to his office, my superior's superior. And I went down. First of all, he tried to talk me out of leaving. He says, "We really don't want you to leave." He says, "We like the job you've done. You've done a great job. You've done really well. We don't want you to leave. Please reconsider. Don't do it." And when he found out that I wasn't going to do it, then he said this. He says, "Well, when you find something like this, when you discover that what you're going to do isn't going to work, then you come back and I'll give you your job back." I said, "Thank you." Now, I wanted to remind him of that sweeper blower day. I didn't. I just walked out. Interestingly, 2 years later, that plant shut down. Now, it didn't shut down because I left. That's not what I'm trying to say. But that plant shut down. God was taking care of me. God was stirring me up and getting me out of there, breaking those accepted circumstances that I had accepted, not my passion, but He was getting me out and setting me out into a new area and a new life and to do something that I had a passion to do. And here we are 19 years later. So what I'm trying to say to you is God wants to do that for you as well. God wants you to break those chains of accepted circumstances. And when you do, your dream will emerge. You may not know exactly what your dream is. I didn't know what exactly I was created to do, but I knew I wasn't created to do that. And so I broke those chains of accepted circumstances. I crawled through. And you know me, if you've been here for any time, you've seen some of the stuff I've had to crawl through to maintain what I wanted to do. And you have to crawl through stuff, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It was worth it to Andy. It's worth it to me. It's worth it to you. No matter what you've got to do, when you're really reaching for that dream and we're really getting busy living, when you really start seeking life after what God wants you to do and do the thing that you're created to do, life becomes so fulfilling. And it becomes so good. Listen, you can't play it safe and chase your dream. It's impossible. It's interesting that any successful life, any person that you would want to be that has had a successful life has been a chance taker. You can't play it safe. This church would not be here had we played it safe. This church would not be here had I not taken a chance and had others not taken a chance on me. I would not be here had I played it safe. I would not be here had I not taken a chance. Do you know, as I look at the Bible and every person that I look at in the Bible were chance takers? You see, when we take chances, we advance our lives and we advance the kingdom of God. Without taking a chance, we stay status quo. God did not create you to live status quo. You're not supposed to live a mundane, unimportant life. You're supposed to do something special in this earth and in this planet. That's why you're created. I look at different individuals in the Bible and I see the things that they did. You know, anybody you want to look at, for example, Abraham. And had Abraham not been a chance taker, had Abraham not stepped out there and took a chance, he would still lived in Haran and he would have never become the father of the faithful. He would have never experienced the promise of Isaac that God gave to him. Look at Jacob. Jacob, had he stayed status quo, had he not been a chance taker, had he just played it safe, he would have never gotten the birthright from Esau. He would have stayed working for Uncle Laban, and he never would have stepped out and been the father of all of those guys who became the leaders of Israel. Had you not been a chance taker, Goliath would have never gone down by David. Had David played it safe, he would have never fought that giant. I don't care who you look at in the Bible, if we're going to advance the kingdom and if we're going to advance our lives and we're going to fulfill the purpose that we're created to do, we've got to come to a place of taking a chance. We've got to come to a place in our life where we really seek first the kingdom. We really seek first that dream that God's given to us. And if we will, then we'll have a fulfilled and enjoyable life. Had the Apostle Paul not taken a chance, he would have remained a Pharisee. It was safe being a Pharisee. He was established there. But he stepped out, and because he did that, we have the majority of the New Testament that he wrote for us. Had Jesus played it safe, he would have never gone to the cross. You'll never experience the life that God has for you until you come to the place where you'll take a chance, where you'll step out there and get out of the safe zone and go for it and reach for it. And sometimes you just have to do that. And another very interesting thing while I'm thinking about this, on this particular thought about taking chances, every person in the Bible that did something, all of our favorite Bible characters, all those that we really like to read about, that were chance takers, were first in prison to their societies. Before they ever became what God wanted them to become, they first were molded and conformed to the society in which they live. For example, Moses was conformed to keeping sheep for Jethro on the backside of the desert. That's what society had done for Moses. It had conformed him and molded him into being a shepherd, a literal shepherd for some sheep of his father-in-law's. But when God transformed his life, when God recreated his life, he became the great deliverer for the children of Israel. I don't care who you look at, you find that first, before they became who they became, they were first conformed by the world. They were first in a prison. But they got busy living, and they stepped out, and they broke those chains of circumstances, and they went on and did what God had for them to do. No matter who you look at, it's that way. The Apostle Peter, for example, he was conformed by his society to be a fisherman. But God didn't want him to be a fisherman. God what recreated him, and he became the great Apostle Peter. Whoever that you look at, before they became who they became, they were first conformed to their society. And then God did a recreation in them, and they became who they were really created to be. And that's the way so many people are today. We have conformed to society, and what we've got to do is come to the place where we'll break those accepted circumstances, and we step out there, breaking those chains, allowing the dream to surface, and then we fulfill the thing for which we're created. See, what God does for us in our lives is He recreates us. There is a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I hope you're there now. And it talks about this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about being recreated. It says there in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, just his spirit becomes new." You're looking at me funny. Did I do something wrong? What does that say? See, we're kind of taught that when we're born again, that just our spirit is recreated. No, all things. It doesn't have to be just your spirit. It can be all things. God wants to do a work in every life, in all areas of your life, in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, in your family, in your children, in your work area, to chase your dream and do it. He's got all things planned for you. And then in the New Living Translation, it says it this way. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore. For the old life is gone. A new life has begun. See, it's not just your spiritual man that's recreated. It's all things are created. And what your dream may be to be what you're doing. That may be your passion. That may be your dream. But if it's not, see, mine wasn't. If it's not, then it's time. It's time. And God wants you to plan your escape. God wants you to break out of the prison. And God wants you to reach for your dream and get busy living. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Don't copy, and this is from the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, you have to imagine your dream. You have to be there. You have to see it happening. You have to begin speaking it and prophetically creating it. Then you will know what God wants you to do. And you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Let me tell you, when you're really living and chasing your dream, things do become good and perfect and fun. Life becomes fulfilled. And there's nothing better than fulfilling your dream and doing what you were created to do. You don't hate getting up. In fact, you have a hard time going to bed because you're busy doing your dream. You're busy doing what you were created to do, and you're just enjoying it. You don't dread it. You look forward to it. You love it. Get busy living. Story in the Bible about a man named Gideon. Gideon was conformed and formed by his society. The enemy and society had formed Gideon into an insignificant person. He was an insignificant coward, but God wanted him to change. And in the book of Judges, chapter 6 and verse 11, let me read you this. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the oak tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, had been threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now, do you see the picture here? Here is this coward, this scared, frightened rabbit, hiding in a wine press hole. In other words, a vat where they would stomp on grapes to make wine. He was hunkered down in here, beating him out a little wheat to make him a little flour so that he could survive, so that he could live. Society and the enemy had conformed him to do that. And he would look around to see, make sure that no Midianite was going to come and take away his little flour, his little wheat. But God didn't see him as a coward. God didn't see him as a frightened little rabbit. What God saw him was what? As a mighty hero. See, I was a little frightened guy hiding in a textile plant, and there's nothing wrong with a textile plant. Please don't hear me wrong there. That was my supervisor's dream. He was living his dream, just wasn't my dream. I thank God for that plant. It paid good paychecks, and I raised two kids and bought two houses and a lot of cars and boats and insurance and clothes and those kinds of things from that. And I'm thankful for those 20 years that they gave me a paycheck. But it wasn't my passion. It wasn't what I was created to do. And I was hiding down there looking around for the next bill collector, you know. I was hiding, looking around for him, waiting for the next supervisor to come and yell at me. I was miserable. I was hiding from my enemies. But God didn't see a textile plant supervisor or overseer. What God saw was a preacher. What God saw was a teacher of the Word of God. What God saw was a pastor. What God didn't see in Gideon wasn't this coward hiding in a hole, beating out a little wheat. God saw a mighty hero. I want to tell you today, God sees a mighty hero in you. There's something in you that He wants to break the chains of your accepted circumstances, and He wants you to step out no matter what you've got to climb and crawl through and experience your dream. He wants you to get busy living. God took that little scared rabbit guy named Gideon, who was hiding there beating him out a little weak, and transformed him, recreated him, made a new creature out of him. And Gideon became the leader of the armies of Israel, and they defeated. And Gideon spent his best years of his life in freedom and peace, no longer hiding, but living in an abundant, enjoyable life. Let me read this to you in Judges chapter 8, verse 28. Thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. During Gideon's lifetime, the land enjoyed peace 40 years. See, Gideon became a new creature. He lived an entirely different life. He no longer saw himself as this frightened little guy hiding in a wine press. What he saw now was leader of the armies of Israel. I no longer see myself as a textile overseer. I no longer see myself that way, and I haven't for many years. I see myself now more like God sees me. And I know that if I see myself like God sees me, then He's not done with me yet. And there's more victories to experience. There's more good things for me to have. You see, God sees me as a pastor, as a teacher of the Word of God. Now I'm starting to see myself like that. Now it takes time. And what God wants to tell you today is that whatever He's created you to be, if you'll just start imagining it, if you'll start prophesying it and speaking it, and if you'll start planning your escape from the prison that's holding you back and start reaching out there and experiencing what God has for you, you're going to break free. And you're going to live a life that's abundant. You're going to live a life that's enjoyable and victorious. You're not going to be beating out a little life. You're going to be victorious, and you're going to be the head and not the tail, and the top and not the bottom. You're going to experience everything that God has for you. But you've got to get busy living. Get busy living. Now, Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 tells us that there's a prophetic thing that goes along with this dream and this vision. It said your sons and your daughters will prophesy. There's something that has to happen inside of you that prophetically brings forth. And we've just completed the Power of Words series. And we saw that life and death are what? In the power of the tongue. The power of your words are life and death. Jesus said it this way. By your words you are justified, or by your words you're condemned. You can justify your dream by speaking it. You can create it with the power of your creative words. You create your world. You create the world in which you live through a prophetic thing. There's the prophetic thing that's wrapped around that dream. And you need to learn how to start seeing and saying about yourself the way God sees you and what God says about you. You need to fill your life with these things. You need to say this about yourself. God made me to live an abundant life. Say, God made me special. Say, God made me with unique talents. Say, God made me to dream big dreams. Say about yourself, God made me smart. God made me to be happy. God made me to be a hero. God made me to have the favor of the Lord. God made me to have a full life. Amen? See, and you start saying that and you fill your life up with this as I'm trying to project to you on that slide. You become full of what God says about you, and you bring a prophetic thing about because you start stepping into it. You start escaping. You start planning your escape. And you start stepping out into your dream, and you start living it and chasing it and fulfilling it. And all of a sudden your life becomes full. I'll tell you a joke. Guy went into a pizza place, said, I want to order a pizza. So the guy cooking said, you want it cut in 6 pieces or 8 pieces? The guy says, let's cut it in 6 because I don't know if I can eat 8. God's, some of you are a little bit slower than the others. God's cooked you a great life. You determine how it's sliced. You determine how much of it you eat. You determine how much life you partake of. You are the one who determines how it's sliced. You're the one who determines how much of life you really get to enjoy. And you'll never enjoy the abundant life that God came to give you, that Jesus says you can have, until you begin to experience your dream. Let me tell you, God has put a dream into every person's heart. Inside of every person, every man, every woman, every boy and every girl, God has deposited a dream. God has deposited a vision for that life. There is a will that God wants you to walk in, and it's wrapped up in your dream. You fulfill God's will when you fulfill that dream. When you chase that dream, you'll live the life that Jesus came to give you, the life that's abundant. Listen, you can't be imprisoned. You got to plan your escape. You can't let Shawshank hold you forever. You might have to crawl through a sewage system to get to where you got to go, but it's worth it. Because what Andy's dream was to live that life. Live a life that was fun and pleasing, a life that he foresaw. God's got that life for you. And you've got to reach for it. You've got to go for it. You've got to break out of accepted circumstances. You've got to break those things and let your dream emerge. You've got to let God take you. You've got to take a chance. You've got to reach out there. You've got to be a chance taker. You've got to not allow a bad turn back in your life determine where you end up at. Stop today. Go back and fix the wrong turn. Make the right turn. And God will help you. God's going to bring you forth. God's going to help you, give you what you need to do it, because He wants you to fulfill your dream just as much as you want, if not more. God wants to take you on. Don't be hiding in a hole. Don't be afraid of what's out there. Don't be just beating out a little life and just getting by. You weren't created just to get by. God didn't make you that way. You're created to have an abundant life. You're not created to live a ho-hum status quo life. You're created to have the abundant life that God has for you. God has a plan for your life. It's for good things. It's to have a hope and a future. God wants to take you and do things in your life that you haven't even asked or thought yet. Things that you haven't even imagined. For eye has not seen and ear has not heard and neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for you. But if you love Him, and you do, then He's going to take you on. You got to step out and begin seeking first the kingdom of God. You got to reach for things and not let things reach for you. You can't let things imprison you. You got to become God-centered or dream-centered. And if you will, God's going to give you that abundant life that He's promised you. It's yours. You slice it and you eat it. How many people in here are going to pursue and get busy living? How many people? How many are going to chase your dream? Would you give the Lord a hand clap and a shout? Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We're going to pray for people in just a minute. I want to share one thing with you before we do. How many is excited about we're going to redo our front out there? Are you like that? Will you put the picture up there? There it is. That's what it's going to look like in a short, short time. Now, I've been busy this past couple of weeks talking to contractors and builders and those kinds of things. And so we kind of got things lined up. We went and got our building permit, so we're ready to go with it and all those things. So we're going to start on it real soon. Now, here's the picture of what we're the first phase of. The steeple will come next. To get this much done, to get the stowwork done and the gable done and the whole front renewed, everything except the steeple will cost us $15,000. Okay? Now, that's not very bad from what I've heard, from what people that do this kind of stuff tell me. That's not a bad deal at all for all that's got to be done out there. Now, what we're going to do next week, and I want you to be prepared for it and be praying about it, is we're going to have the board in here or out there on the foyer. We don't know exactly how we'll do it. But on this board, we'll have 300 squares of $50 a piece. I want you to pray and see what God would have you to do towards the beautification of LifeGate Church. So what would God have you to do? How many squares or blocks would you want to purchase? And then let's take 3 months, in the middle of June. It's the middle of March now. We'll go to the middle of June. By the middle of June, you can have the money in. So you've got a lot of time. I want you to believe God. I want you to hear Him. If He tells you that something, then that's how much you do. Don't do any more, but don't do any less. But we'll have that somewhere, and next week's service someplace. We'll have the thing set up somewhere. We did that when we paid our building off. Well, way back in, 96 or something like that. We did a very similar thing, and we paid our building off, paved our parking lot, carpeted the floor, and did all these kinds of things. So we want to do that this time and give you an opportunity to share. Now, I'm believing God's going to do the whole thing. I believe that as we combine our efforts and do this thing, I believe God's just going to take care of it. So you be praying, and you see what the Lord would have you to do to help out, and let's make LifeGate Church a really, really beautiful place on Main Street. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for you now. What is your need today? God wants you healed. If you're sick in your body, He wants you healed. God wants your family whole. Whatever's going on in your family, if it's something wrong, He wants to fix that. Maybe if two or three are gathered together, He'll do whatever that you ask Him. That's what He said. So you're having a problem there? Then let's pray for it. How about maybe you have children that are giving you fits? Well, let's pray. How about you got parents that are giving you fits? Well, let's pray. Maybe your cat ran away. Let's pray. Let's whatever that it is that's going on in your life. Maybe you need a job. Maybe you want to pursue your dream a little more desperately. Whatever that's going on in your life, we want to pray for you right now. And we believe that God will touch you and heal you. We believe that God will bring your dreams to pass. We believe that whatever's going on in your life, He's interested in it and He wants to make it right. So we want you to be coming right now, no matter what the problem is. Come down, myself, elders, and anybody else. And sometimes I forget to say this. If you feel to come down and pray for someone, then you come on down. We sure don't want them to miss their blessing. So, Father, we dedicate this to you. Everything that we've done up until this particular point, Lord, was done for this, so that we can touch people physically and we can pray for them. Lord, we can encourage them and we can allow the Spirit of God to truly minister to lives. So, Father, we ask you now to touch lives, heal bodies, Father, heal minds and souls, Lord, heal families and job situations.